Well, if you have your Bibles, it'd be great if you could turn to Luke chapter 2. And this morning we're thinking about birth announcements and unusual visitors. And Luke records the account of the shepherds. And this is what Luke says in chapter 2 from verse 8. And he says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And then if you flip back a couple of books to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 2, we read the account of the wise men. And as Cal said, the wise men, they follow the star, they think they're looking for a king, so they go to Jerusalem, to the palace, and they quickly discover that wrong place. And this is what this is reading from verse 9, chapter 2. It says, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So in our first passage this morning, we have this announcement to some shepherds by an angel. This is not your typical birth announcement. In fact, probably by our standards, we would be able to offer some criticism of this as a birth announcement. For starters, the angels forgot to mention the birth weight. Now, we all know a good birth announcement is only valid if it has a birth weight with it. And they also didn't use the line, mother and baby are doing well. And usually some sort of trite thing about how the father's surviving on the side. Because that's what our birth announcements are like. That's what we do. I've done it twice. But this is not what the angels say. They have a different message. And after calming down the terrified shepherds, because we need to remember, angels in the Bible are not cute, and they're not little cherubs. Because we know this. You read through your Bible, almost every time an angel appears in the Bible, the first words out of their mouth are, don't be afraid. And that's because angels are actually really scary. Has anyone here ever played an angel? Yeah, got one. Angels in Nativity? Yeah, a few of you? James, have you been an angel? No? Isla, you were an angel. Were you a scary angel? No. Anybody a scary angel? Now, we have Big Ron at the half nine service. We thought he was a scary angel. See, I've I've thought about this for a little minute. What would we do if an angel appeared right in the middle of the room just now? I know what I'm doing. I'm behind the communion table. Okay, you guys can head that exit. David will get the fire exit open. And everybody else can try and hide down the back out of the way. Angels are scary. But they reassure the shepherds and they say to them, good news, great joy, a Savior who is Christ, that is the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the Lord has come. Now, why is this good news? Why was it good news to the shepherds? Well, in Israel, at that time, the people were oppressed. They were under the thumb of the Roman authorities. They were longing for a rescuer. They were longing for their Messiah to come and save them. If you like, they were waiting for a hero. You only have to look around our television and our cinema and our books that this theme of waiting for a hero, of waiting for a rescuer to come, is totally prominent. In fact, Disney have made most of their money out of this idea of people waiting to be rescued by a hero. It dominates much of their shows. Now, something we know about heroes is that heroes are only needed if there's a problem. You need a hero if someone needs rescued. You know, if we think about, let's take Disney for a little minute, if we think about The Lion King, if the Pride Lands are fine, if all is well, then Simba can stay in the jungle and sing Hakuna Matata to his heart's content. Okay, he's not needed. In Star Wars, there's no need for Rey and the other Jedis if there's no dark side to fight. If the evil of Spectre doesn't threaten the world, then Bond, James Bond, can stay on his beach. He's not needed. Or perhaps a little bit closer to home, if there was no virus, then there would be no need for a hero vaccine. You see, I think most of us would acknowledge that all is not well in our world. There is brokenness and pain and destruction. But if we're prepared to perhaps look a little bit closer, and if we're perhaps prepared to be honest, we realize that all is not well with us. There is something deeply broken about humans. There's a sickness. The Bible calls it sin, which damages our relationships with others and with God. And we can be selfish. We don't like doing what we're told. We can say hurtful things. We can fight with each other. And that's the adults. And we realize that as hard as we try, we cannot fix ourselves. We try to cover up. It's a bit like some of my DIY efforts. Like my most two essential tools I have in my DIY kit. One is no more nails, and the other is polyfiller. And if you lifted pictures off, not so much the house we're in now, but our first house where I was practicing my DIY, if you lifted the pictures off the wall, you would find multiple holes in the wall where I'd misdrilled. And we tried to cover it up. It's all we can do. We try to fix things on our own efforts. And we can't. We're trapped. We're helpless. We need a hero. We need a savior. And both the angel and the star announce the arrival of the hero savior. And to those who recognize the problem, who look at themselves and know the brokenness, this announcement is great news. This is the best news ever announced. Because this child in a manger is no ordinary baby. He is no ordinary hero. He wasn't just going to be another sort of military leader who was going to ride in and deal with the pesky Romans at the time. No, he's something way, way, way beyond that. If you look at what the angels announce, they say three things about Jesus. They say, number one, that he is the Savior. He's the one who's going to save us from our sins by dying in our place. Second thing they say is he is the Christ. That's the promised rescuer. That's the Messiah, sent by God to set us free and give eternal life. And how is this possible? Because as well as being the Savior and as well as being the Christ, he is also the Lord. He's God. This baby in the manger is God in human form. He is the Prince of Heaven come to dwell among his people and bring peace between God and all who will believe in him. So that's the announcement. It's unusual. And then come the visitors to see this child. And as Cal was telling us, the shepherds arrive first, pretty soon after the birth. And then the wise men, they kind of roll in a while later, maybe a year and a half later. Jesus is likely a toddler by this point. So, if you ever see a nativity set, then, you know, the nativity set, and sometimes they're set up, and you've got Mary and Joseph, you've got baby Jesus, the shepherds are there, and the wise men. See, if you ever see one of those, what you should take the wise men and move them to the other side of the room, okay? Because they haven't got there yet. They're still somewhat down the road. Now, I'm always very tempted, especially if you see maybe they have a nativity set down the town centre. You have to take the wise men and move them down to Debenhams or somewhere down that way. Because they're a long way away. They haven't got there yet. But these two sets of visitors that Jesus receives could not be more different. The shepherds, they were on the lowest rung of the economic ladder. They were likely poorly educated, not particularly esteemed within their society. They would have been looked down upon. They were probably a bit smelly. I spent quite a long time as a child helping out on my grandparents' farm. And I can assure you that after a full day of working with sheep, there is a certain aroma which almost gets under the skin. That I tell you, no amount of Radox bubble bath will shift this. And that's the shepherds, whereas the wise men, they were on the opposite end of the spectrum. They were likely wealthy Gentiles, well-educated, highly esteemed within their society. They would have been looked up to, they were probably well-groomed and very well-dressed. But what do these two groups tell us? They tell us this, regardless of background, the need of a Savior is still the same. You still need to come. You see, the message of Christmas, the good news, the gospel, is good news to all who will receive it. It doesn't matter whether you are loaded or you haven't got two pennies to rub together. It doesn't matter whether you're university educated and you've got an alphabet of letters after your name, or whether you completely flunked school. It doesn't matter whether you're currently sitting top in your class in school, or schoolwork is just a struggle. It doesn't matter how popular or unpopular you are. It doesn't matter what you have done, whether in the world's eyes you are a good person or a bad person. It doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what your accent is, and it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. We all have the same problem, sin. And therefore, we all need to hear the good news. The Savior has come. The hero is here. But what sort of saviour is he? What sort of hero is he? You'll perhaps think of some of the heroes, fictional heroes or modern day heroes. What are they like? Are they haughty, proud, approachable? Is our hero, is he approachable? Is he going to look down on us? After all, this is the Prince of Heaven. Will he not be fed up with our constant and repeating failures? And even as Christians, sometimes we can think like this. You know, we come before God in confession and we're like, oh, here I go again, Lord. I did it again. Next week, did it again, Lord. Failed again. And in our heads, I think sometimes we feel like we're talking to a disappointed head teacher who's going to wangle the finger at us and say, could do better. But no, that is not what our hero is like. It's not what our Savior is like. You see, the child in the manger is going to grow up. He's going to become a man. And then for a few short years, he's going to travel around teaching and preaching and healing the sick. And his lifestyle is scandalous because of who he chooses to associate with. See, Jesus didn't hang out or spend time with the people who thought they had their life sorted. He didn't hang out with the in crowd or the rich or the famous. No, Jesus was called a friend of sinners, and that was an insulting term. Why? Because he hung out with the broken people. The people who knew their lives were messed up. The delight of Jesus' heart was to lift up and to restore the broken and the spiritually needy. There's a TV show called The Chosen. It's about the... Well, it starts. It's going to be a long TV show. It's on YouTube. I'd highly recommend you watch it. But it's about the calling of the followers of Jesus. And there is a beautiful scene in it featuring Mary Magdalene. Now, the creators have used a little bit of artistic license in this. But the scene captures the heart of Jesus. Mary from Magdala. As a child, her dad would read these words to her. He would say, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine." And her dad, when she was a little girl, her dad would repeat these words to her over and over and over again. And then her life goes downhill. And by the time we see her in the TV show as an adult, she is broken. She's considered a sinful woman by her society. And she's suffering from some sort of possession. And in the scene, she's walking away and Jesus calls to her. He says, "Mary." He calls her by name. And then he says these words, "But thus says the Lord who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And it's a powerful moment. And Mary is broken and now restored because the one who created her has called her by name and has redeemed her. See, that is who our Savior is. He is the one who calls to the broken and the downcast. He's the one who wishes to lift up those who feel spiritual poverty. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:29. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Our hero is not aloof. He's not distant. He doesn't stay back and not want to get his hands dirty. No, he is gentle. He is lowly. He draws alongside. He gets down in the dirt with damaged people, and he offers them rest for their souls. The writers of Hebrews says this in chapter 4, says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, our hero knows what it's like to suffer, to battle temptation. And in that, he offers us grace and mercy. And he says, "Come. Come to me." He calls out for us to come to this throne of grace, receiving undeserved favor. And you know, the wise men and the shepherds have, while they're so different, from opposite ends of society, have one thing in common. When they heard the good news, or in the wise men's case, when they seen the star, they went looking for their Savior. The sign that the King had been born, the good news of great joy declared by the angels, compelled them to go looking for the one who is Christ the Lord. And when they find him, what do? They worship him. They acknowledge his worth, his lordship, his majesty. And this is what this season is about. It's about coming and acknowledging the worthiness of Jesus, to worship him, not as a child lying in a manger, but to worship him as the God of heaven, as the creator of the universe. He was the Savior then and continues to be the Savior now. And he still calls. And the way Mary was called in that TV show, he still sends the same message. He says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, he who formed you, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, if you don't think there's anything wrong with your life, if you don't think you need a Savior, if you don't think you're broken, then with all due respect, you need to look again. You're wrong. Reconsider. But if you acknowledge your brokenness, acknowledge your sinfulness, your rebellion, if you hear the good news this season and you feel the call and you hear the call of a Savior who offers you peace with God this Christmas, who offers you forgiveness and life and hope and joy everlasting, exceeding joy, then come to him. For some, perhaps, it's a case of return to him and acknowledge him as your Lord and worship him. For anyone who has heard his call and seeks him will find him.